All right, Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, going to be joining us momentarily on the Fan Hotline presented by Sullivan Super Service, Pittsburgh's trusted plumbing and HVAC provider for over 50 years. Good morning to everybody out there. Hope you enjoyed your long weekends. Fan Morning Show is brought to you by Guardian Protection, your hometown home and business security company. It's day one of OTAs today, Doran.
Are you excited? You used to cover OTAs, didn't you?
Yeah, I'm excited because the guys will talk.
Mm-hmm.
And so then we'll have stuff to react to. And if you're down there, you're going to get to watch Will Howard slang the rock.
Will Howard.
Mm-hmm. Get to watch Caleb Johnson do some jump cuts.
Yep.
Watch Darius Slay. See DK Metcalf. Yeah, I think there's some stuff worth watching down there. And Jeff Hathorn's going to get to take it all in, and he joins us right now. Good morning to you, Jeff. Are you excited for day one of OTAs?
I am, because it's not hard news, but there is some news. At least there's something different than talking about, you know, that guy that we've talked about every day. And to that point, listen, the biggest thing for me, what's Mason look like? Like, does he walk out on that field like, listen, guys, I got this. Like, I'm a different guy than was here 2 years ago. Like, don't worry about Aaron Rodgers. Like, I can do this. That's one of the things I want to see. It doesn't have to be a cockiness, but just like a, you know, like I'm in control. I can do this if I'm the starting quarterback.
Jeff, I think that you will see that from Mason. I think that he will give off that mature vibe. Like, I can do this. I'm a leader. You know, I've grown since the last time I was here, and I have a great opportunity in front of me. But outside of Mason, who else? What are some rookies that you may be paying attention to? Obviously, Will Howard, as we talked about before, could be one of them. But what are some rookies that you'll be paying attention to as the OTA start today?
Yeah, Will's an easy one because, you know, in these drills, it's not full on. So it's hard to see Derek Harmon, you know, do his best because it's not full. I mean, you can watch his footwork. There are things that you can look at. I want to see Caleb Johnson move. Again, not full on, but how does he attack the holes? How does he seem to understand what's going on? How does he catch the ball? He's talked a big game, which I don't have a problem with. Let's see how he meshes, how he works with some of the other guys. I mean, that's another one that's easier to see. What kind of speed does Jack Sawyer work with in some of the drills? And is TJ there helping him? Is TJ not there? I mean, like, how is he interacting with some of the veteran guys?
Do you think TJ will be there doing one of those hold-ins?
You know, I think he might be here for day one. I don't know how much more he'll be here. I mean, we'll see. I mean, you remember last year, Cam Hayward missed for a few days, and then he showed up and went through the rest. Now, Cam notoriously comes to all of these. Even though there's not much for him to gain from there, he wants to be a part of it. It's not a slam of TJ if he doesn't. But that's one of the other storylines to watch is, will TJ be there, and then is he just off on his own, or how much is he interacting, especially with a guy like Sawyer?
Jeff, can I give you a guy to pay attention to report back on Thursday whenever you come back on the March show?
Absolutely.
Broderick Jones.
Mm.
And like you said, like, obviously OTAs, there's no pads, you're not hitting, but I mean, just how does he look? Like, how does he
right.
Is he, you know, is his spunk? Is he excited? Does he look to grasp this opportunity of moving to left tackle? Does he fit well looking, you know, next to, say, Amalo? Like, I mean, I'm very interested, and I think that is a spot that we will circle, is how that transition is really going to go this year for this offense. I feel like if that is a good transition, this offense can be okay.
And, guys, I mean, let's face it, for the first time since, I don't know, maybe in a decade, like, they know the offensive line. Huh. There are no battles. There are no question marks. They have two first-round picks and a second, and one of their highest-paid free agents on that offensive line. Like, this is the group. The only thing that could be a question is if Mason McCormick were to struggle at all. But I don't even know that they have that replacement. That would be something that would be ongoing, but I mean, they're going to go into it. They've got this entire offseason just to mesh. And as you mentioned, with Broderick on the left and then Faltano coming back from injury, man, at this point last year when we were watching through camp, there was excitement about the way he could get into the open field. Like, let's see how that injury has impacted him at all.
Jeff Hathorn, our sports director, joining us here on the Fan Morning Show. Steelers OTA start today. How about Roman Wilson, Jeff?
Yeah.
And I think that's a big one. I mean, guys, they don't get hit coming across the middle, so it's easier on the receivers. But right. does he look like he knows the part? Does he look like he understands the offense? Does he enter the season at this point this year ahead of where he was last year? I think you could probably glean a lot from him in OTAs.
Yeah, and Adam, by knowing the part, does he know the playbook?
Right.
Does he know where he's supposed to be? And you're right. I mean, listen, they didn't trade George to open up a spot for Roman. But what trading George did was give Roman a big opportunity to erase that rookie year and come in here with the expectations that they had for him last year and fulfill them. I mean, the opportunities are there. Man, that's all you want as an athlete, to have it there. Now just go grab it. I mean, there are snaps, reps, chances to make plays in this offense for him if he can grab it. This will be another one of these guys coming back from injury. And, you know, like, here's another one that I'm curious, because you didn't re-sign a Landon Roberts. Cole Holcomb, this guy busted his tail all year. I mean, how does he work in with the linebackers? And, I mean, this guy is a 100-tackle dude in the league. Now he's going to be that run star. He's going to be that other linebacker. You know, just I think having him back is, I mean, it's amazing what he has been through and what he continues to fight, what he's fought back from a couple of times.
Jeff, every time I see this this player's name being linked to the Steelers, I just shake my head. And do you think that the Steelers could get so desperate that they make a move for Kirk Cousins? Or do you think they just ride with Mason, Will Howard, and Skylar Thompson?
I hope they don't. I mean, Kirk Cousins has done more in the league than Mason. That's not arguable. But, I mean, if you're at that point where it just doesn't happen with Aaron, and again, that's where I think these 3 weeks, like, if Mason shows that, you know, I can do this, this is an offense for me. And that's what's interesting. I'm not saying he's completely Tannehill, but there are some Tannehill qualities. Can throw the deep ball, can move a little bit in the pocket, can escape a little bit. I mean, Mason had a couple of decent runs. Not that he's a runner. You know, maybe he's found the right coordinator. And if it all falls apart, then, you know, you draft your guy next year and use that draft equity to get yourself up in the top of that first round.
Jeff, obviously all these guys are going to get asked about Aaron Rodgers. Do you think that, I don't know, by day three they're going to get annoyed? Do you think it'll be today they get annoyed? Do you think they're already annoyed? Like, what's your understanding of how all these guys in the locker room feel about the quarterback position?
Yeah, I wish in these settings that we could go in the room and kind of get a better feel for any talking, but we just get these guys off the field. I think it'll probably be by question three that they'll be annoyed. I think it'd be odd. This won't happen, but I think it'd be awesome. Basically, listen, this is my job. This is mine. You know, he could stay at home in California and watch the Dolphins because I got this. That would be incredible. But yeah, I think most of them will know, and they'll be prepared to just, you know, take the high road and say, you know, I don't have anything to do with it, or it's out of my pay grade, whatever it is that they'll throw out. But you'll hear a bunch of cliches about Aaron Rodgers.
Jeff, how do you think that Mike Tomlin will be today? Is he usually juiced up? Does he usually kind of just like, all right, just, you know, the business as usual? How's he going to be today? Is he going to be on fire?
You know, we all remember like that one teacher, the first day of school, and you're kind of dragging in and they're like super geeked up about the start of school. Like, that is Mike Tomlin. He is going to be so excited just to see. And this is what he lives for, every drill. If the one thing that has not changed about Mike is his love for the game and this part of the game, just being out there with the guys, interacting, you know, some giving it and taking it back and forth with the veterans. He's going to be, this is his time. Yeah, he's going to be loving it. You know, it's always an interesting first couple of days when these rookies mesh in with some of these veteran guys. And, will read way too much into it. I'm sure of it.
No, it would never happen. Jeff, this was wonderful. We appreciate the time. Looking forward to reading and hearing what you've gleaned from day one of OTAs, and we'll talk to you on Thursday, buddy. Thank you.
All right, boys. Thanks.
Thanks, Jeff.
Jeff Hathorn, the man.
I bet you that I've been asked about Aaron Rodgers outside of work more than any player on the Steelers.
Oh, my God.
Like, it is, like, anytime I see a human being that knows or watches Steelers football, they ask me, what do you think about Aaron Rodgers? Is he going to come? Like, I don't know.
I had people making fun of me at a cookout this weekend saying, you guys talk about Rodgers too much. And then for the next 15 minutes, discussed whether or not it would be a good idea for Aaron Rodgers to be the quarterback. Look, we're all sick of it. I'm not going to lie. We would never lie to you guys. I'm totally sick of the damn thing. Like, wake me up when this guy walks through the damn door of the UPMC Rooney Sports Complex. But that being said, it's freaking fascinating, man.
Yeah.
And I'd be lying to everyone out there right now if I wasn't excited about what the answers are going to be from some of these players today when they're asked about Rodgers. Like DK Metcalf. I can't wait to hear reports of this moose running around the football field. I want to hear what he has to say about Rodgers. Like, you worked out with him.
Right.
Did he seem to think he was coming? Rodgers did hint this weekend that he could be coming to Pittsburgh. The biggest hint thus far from the quarterback. We'll talk about that coming up next, but then, yeah, we'll get into some of the OTA stuff that we're most excited about hearing about. That's coming up next. You can tweet us. Burping here. Brought to you by South Hills Kia, Peters Township. Visit them at southhillskia.net, not the burp, but the Twitter account.
Will Aaron Rodgers ever go to the Bears?
No, but I believe there's a team that might play in Chicago this year.
Let's go!
On a road trip. I don't know.
Someone yells Pittsburgh. That was the biggest hint we've gotten, I think, from Aaron Rodgers thus far. This is where we are on all this story.
Oh, my goodness.
And I, like you and all of Pittsburgh, were sick of it. And here's my best guess. And then we'll get on to some of the guys who are actually going to be at OTAs. Mandatory veteran minicamp begins June 10th. I think he'll be here for that.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know that we'll see TJ Watt these next couple of weeks. These are voluntary, organized team activities. TJ Watt does not have a contract. I don't think he'll be here. We'll see. I could be wrong on that. He could do the hold-in thing, and we'll see. But he ain't going to be here. We'll probably find that a couple other guys aren't here. Aaron Rodgers doesn't need to be here, though I'd like for him to be here. Best guess, he'll be here for the mandatory minicamp that starts on June 10th.
He could also have been talking about the Vikings.
I know. Don't do that.
Well, I'm just saying.
I mean, you're right. I know.
Just saying, a road trip. You know that they are definitely, I mean, does Aaron Rodgers really pay attention to the Steelers schedule? He might.
He knows it. Of course he
knows
it.
Could have been the Vikings, though.
No, it was the Steelers. Okay. Stop it. Quit it. Don't do that.
Saying.
People have been saying it could have been the Saints, and then he just came out and flamed the Saints. I'm never playing there. I'm too old. I'm not living in Louisiana, is what he said. I was just in Louisiana. It's wonderful. What was he saying? He's too old for, like, Bourbon Street? Is that what he was getting into, I guess? But not too old to be doing ayahuasca.
Right.
Like, ayahuasca, yes. Couple of purple slushies on Bourbon Street, no.
Right. It's too many people. Too much. He wants to be by himself in his own room in the darkness.
So, Steelers OTAs begin today, which means it's hashtag best shape of his life season. We're going to start getting the Caboli reports, the Ray Fittipaldo reports, Jerry Dulac, Jeff Hathorn. Wow, so-and-so looks great. And we all got to take this with a grain of salt. Like, DK Metcalf, I think, is going to be the big winner today. He's going to walk out of the tunnel or walk through those double doors onto the practice field, and jaws are going to drop.
Mm.
This guy's going to come out with Roman Wilson to his right. He's going to come out with Calvin Austin to his left. And he's going to look like friggin' Megatron, dude.
Yeah.
And everyone's oh, he looks the part. We know that.
Caleb Johnson, I think, will be another big winner.
Oh, he's going to be a big winner today, Dorna, OTAs. Yep. But the guy I'm paying most attention to, seriously, and this is sad because they have yet to backfill the roster at the wide receiver position, is Roman Wilson. Because I actually think you can learn something about him today. Like, is he going to look like a nincompoop? Or is he going to be out there running the right routes, having the offense all figured out? Like, that's important. Because I believed in the guy. He's not big, but he's also not Calvin Austin size. He's 5'11". He's kind of thick. if he could be a great possession receiver for them this year, that's a massive deal. His talent wasn't why he didn't play last year. It was the injury and then he didn't pick up the offense. All right, this would be the first opportunity now to see if he's on the same page with the quarterback and everybody else on the offense.
The way that you can gain something in watching somebody like Roman Wilson during OTAs is his speed, really. Does his speed look different than everybody else's speed? Is he his get-offs? Is he anticipating certain things, like the way he runs routes? Is he crisp? Like, you can see that if he's been putting in the work, if he does look the part by just his speed. I mean, receiver, you don't really need pads. You can kind of tell if a receiver can run or not.
Right.
You know, so this is a good gauge. If you want to watch, like, interior D-line and linebackers and stuff, like, you can't really gauge anything with no pads. But receivers, like, you're doing the same things in OTAs with helmets that you would be during training camp and practice. Like, you don't get tackled in practice in training camp. Like, you know, you're not getting taken out over the middle in training camp. You're really running 7-on-7, 1-on-1. So you can get what you need out of what a receiver can do in OTAs. And if he does look that his speed is on another level, that's a good sign.
Yeah, I don't want him to be thinking out there.
You're right.
Like, yes, it's year one for him as a player in real NFL games, but it's not year one for him going through all of these processes, like going through OTAs, going through minicamp. Though he did miss all of training camp, but like, you need to look like you're a veteran. You can't look like you're a rookie.
Right.
Like, bare minimum. People have blown up the text line. TJ does have a contract, Crowley. He does. A bunch of text here. You know what I'm saying? If he shows up, if he doesn't show up, we all know he's looking for a new contract. Thank you for coming to my TED Talk. Troy Fulton would be another guy I'd be paying attention to, but to your point, he ain't doing much. Like, he ain't knocking people on her ass. There's no pancaking going on. But he coming back from injury, Roman Wilson coming back from injury, and the injury report is brought to you by Shenorovich, Shenorovich, and Fishman. They've got your back, not your wallet. I do think, to Jeff's point, that you're going to see Rudolph walk out there, cock of the walk.
Yeah, same.
This dude going to walk out there. He's got his, what is it, Fu Manchu? He got his devil beard going. He's going to walk out there with swag,
yes,
dude.
Yes, he is.
And he's going to look good. But I'll tell you this. If Aaron Rodgers were there, because there's no contact, because you're not afraid of getting hit, in 2 seconds, every single player on that roster would go, oh, that's the guy.
Yep.
Like, that's what Rodgers will bring when he gets here. And, hey, Rodgers might not thrive under the pressure. He was getting the ball out real quick last year. Like, he does not move the way he once moved. But in OTAs, in minicamp, in the first few days of training camp, he would look like a Hall of Famer.
Yeah, based off of just vibes, too.
Yes.
And control. Like, he would just automatically gain control and gain respect as soon as he walks out in the field. Just the way he just struts out in the field, you just, it's like, that's Aaron Rodgers. And then he gets in the huddle and he doesn't even have a chin strap. You know how he does that in practice? Doesn't even wear a chin strap.
Oh, yeah.
And he's just slinging it a little bit or just throwing a couple bubble screens. You're like, oh, man, he's getting, look, that's Aaron Rodgers.
Look at that quick release.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I think there's a good chance of at least one Steeler today with a microphone in their face who gets annoyed with the Rodgers situation. Trying to think of who would be the most likely guy. Maybe Minka Fitzpatrick.
Yeah.
Hey, Minka, you want Aaron Rodgers to come? Man, I don't care.
You know who I think it might be? It might be a new guy, Darius Slay.
Ooh.
I bet you Darius Slay is like, yeah, you know what? Well, listen, like, I've been around too a long time, and I'm here. Like, you know, I've been around a long time. I want a Super Bowl.
I just won a Super Bowl.
Right. I think he was an All-Pro 1 year. He's like, I've been All-Pro. I've been Pro Bowl. I'm here. So, hey, if you want to be here, well, you know, he'll say something like
that. I wanted to be a Pittsburgh Steeler, so right. I signed on the dotted line, like, day one.
Yep.
Someone's going to do it.
Yeah.
But I guarantee you, again, the prediction, June 10th, Rodgers is going to saunter onto the field wearing a Pittsburgh Steelers uniform. After that, you ain't going to hear a peep until the real games start. No one is going to say anything negative about Rodgers because they're all going to see him compared to Rudolph. And God bless Mason Rudolph. And they're going to go, oh my God, it looks worlds different. That's what everyone's going to be talking about the second Rodgers gets in here, is just how good he looks, because it's set up for him to look good.
Yeah.
And I know he's going to have to learn the terminology, and we don't know if he has a playbook or anything. I'm guessing that he probably does, and that he has been memorizing some of the terminology. But that aside, the way he is going to look, dropping back 7 steps, and no one's going to get up in his face, he's going to look so much better than Mason Rudolph that there will be no controversy until they start losing games. Texter, Crowley, we know what you're saying, but you aren't meaning what your words say. You're a professional broadcaster. Do better. My favorite part about when people criticize via text is all of the misspellings.
Yep.
They wrote, your S, professional broadcaster. Do better. Well, you are, I would think, an intelligent adult. Maybe spell your words correctly, bro. Everyone knows what the hell I'm talking about. Watt doesn't have a contract. The one that he's looking for.
Right. He doesn't have a new one, right?
That's right.
Yeah.
Not to take offense to something that's really not that offensive. It is 729. Time to make the call to the Buell Insurance Agency. Get help with those premiums. 724-443-5610. More on OTAs coming up at the end of the hour. But up next, it is our incredibly popular trivia game hosted by our good friend Southside Jake. Are you smarter than a plumber? That's right. Southside Jake joins us now via video. Jake, how you doing today, big guy?
I'm great. Holiday weekend. Can't wait to get back to plumbing and heating. How about you?
We're doing pretty good. Jake, you hydroblasted my pipes this weekend.
That was Friday. Yeah, you're right. How's your pipes working? I just wanted
to know. Great. Thank you. I appreciate it. It was a lot of fun.
You know what? That's pretty awkward, but I actually have a very awkward story to tell you guys today.
Well, I was going to say, I haven't had my pipes hydroblasted since we got married. I mean,
well, I'm going to leave that one alone. I'm not going there. But yeah, so I was going to definitely tell you about an awkward moment I had. I say top five of my career.
Honestly. Let's hear it.
pretty weird. So obviously inner city plumbing, sometimes you deal with stuff. So last week, it was pretty cold during the morning one day. And, you know, when we get overloaded with some service calls, you know, I'll go grab one off the guys so we can get through the day. So a customer called, no heat, boiler system, go up there, fix the boiler. And part of my protocol for boilers is I go to every radiator and bleed every radiator after I make a repair.
Of course, yeah.
So I was on the first floor talking to the owner. So, yeah, I'm going to go up to the second floor. Is anyone up there? She's like, oh, my sister's up there. I'm like, can you let her know I'm going to be coming up to check the radiators? Yeah, so like 5 minutes go by. I'm coming up the steps, and I'm like, hello, coming up, HVAC tech, whatever. And she's like, oh, okay, come on up. So I'm going through the rooms, and I'm talking to her. She's like, it's so cold. I don't understand why it's so cold, stuff like that. I'm like, okay, I'm coming in now. So like I turn to go in the room. There's a very large woman naked on the bed, just completely naked, shivering with a blanket on. And I'm just like, I'm like, you know what? We don't need to check this radiator. I can feel the heat coming out. We're all good. And I mean, just unbelievable.
I think that's one of the perks of the job, right?
Yeah. If you're into that.
All right. You want to hit us with the trivia now?
All right. We can do that.
Let's go.
Callus, hit the music. Let's go.
Ba-ba-na-ba-na-na.
I hit the music.
All right, boys. I know. I'm just messing around. So this weekend was a very, very large weekend for auto racing.
I knew he was going to do this.
Yep.
You had Monaco F1. You had Indy 500. And you had the Coke 600. All this weekend. So if you're a race fan, like, it was awesome. So here is your first question. What race team owner is the only owner to win the Daytona 500, Brickyard 400, Indy 500, Rolex 24 at Daytona, 12-hour at Sebring, and the 24 hours at Le Mans?
Is it Chip Ganassi?
A, Red Bull Racing. B, Penske, Roger Penske Racing. C, Rick Hendricks. Or D, Chip Ganassi?
I have no earthly idea.
No idea.
I mean you got your lifeline. Hit it.
He doesn't know.
You want to skip?
Yeah, we're skipping.
We're skipping the racing one. Get out of here.
Sorry, it was Chip Ganassi.
Son of a...
Pittsburgh guy, local.
I know. That's why I guessed. He's the only guy I would have known. All right. Man. Next question. Let's go. Pick it up.
All right. What is the most strikeouts in a game thrown by Pirate pitchers collectively?
Oh, man.
A, 19. B, 21. C, 15. Or D, 17. This happened in 2019, by the way.
In 2019?
Yes, sir.
I have no idea.
I do.
You want to go 19?
Well, just do our next lifeline.
Oh, yeah. Cut it down, baby. You want to go 50-50?
Yeah. 50-50. Let's go. All right. We're taking out 15 and 21 and leaving in A, 19, and D, 17.
17 seems too low, even though it's high.
19 for 2019. Let's go for it.
Let's do it.
Walking in A, 19. Final answer?
Yeah.
You are correct.
Nice. Bang!
Way to go.
There we go.
Who was the starter that day?
I have no idea.
Okay,
I can't
good.
Remember.
Very good. Thank you.
I just know it was 2019 against the Milwaukee Brewers, actually. So I can't remember the starter. All right. Next question. What is the most points posted in a single game by an NBA team?
What are these questions today?
I want to win this week, boys. I want to win. You win every week. A, 137. B, 168. C, 190. Or D, 186.
B.
You can ask Callis, right?
He doesn't know.
B would be good. Let's go with B.
I think it's in the 160
range. 168? Yeah.
Oh, my God. The Pirates lost that day. That they struck out 19 guys.
Really?
They lost 12-10 to Milwaukee. They struck out 19 guys and lost. All right, final answer. Go ahead.
The final answer, B, 168. You are incorrect. The total was 186 by the Detroit Pistons in 1983. 186 points.
How many overtimes was that game? Probably so many overtimes.
Zero.
Nick Kingham started that game for the Pirates. He pitched three innings, striking out four. So it was a total team effort. Nick Kingham, Davis, Holmes, Liriano, Hartlieb, Vasquez, Crick, and McCray. I ain't even heard of three of those guys. Anyway, one more question?
One last question. This is the tiebreaker, too, by the way.
Let's go.
So lock yourself in. Let's go. Get hype. All right. Four NHL goalies have played to reach 1,000 games. Patrick Waugh, Marty Brodeur, Marc-Andre Fleury. Who is the fourth? A, Dominic Hasek. B, Ed Belfour. C, Curtis Joseph. Or D, Roberto Luongo.
I think it's Luongo.
I think it's Cujo.
You just like Cujo because it's an evil dog.
Isn't he like half black too? Isn't he, you know, isn't he black?
Why are you doing this to me?
That's what I thought you were going with. I think he is, right?
I think it's Luongo. I do.
Callis, you got an answer?
Yeah, you want to break the tie between Curtis Joseph and Roberto Luongo?
Curtis Joseph rang in my head when I heard the name, so.
Do you like your ally here, Doran?
I kind of do.
All right, go with Cujo then. I think it's Luongo.
Oh, no.
C, Curtis Joseph, final answer.
Yeah.
You are incorrect. It was Roberto Luongo.
Oh, my God.
And you guys are not smarter than a plumber today.
Get out of here, Jake. Go peep on the nudes.
Oh, God.
See you, buddy.
All right, fellas. Have a good day. Enjoy your Tuesday after holiday weekend.
You too. Roberto Luongo.
Curtis Joseph isn't black. Who am I thinking of? Grant Fuhr? Right? Yeah, Grant Fuhr.
You thinking of Weeks?
Grant Fuhr. Sorry. Yeah, Kevin Weeks.
All right, you can text us, brought to you by Edgar Snyder & Associates, a personal injury law firm where they always say there's never a fee unless we get money for you. What if Aaron Rodgers says no to the Pittsburgh Steelers? Jeremy Fowler has a report. We'll react to it next.
I would say Kirk Cousins. I mean, I had some conversations with people this week to lead me to believe that Cousins is at the very least on the Steelers' radar if something were to fall through on Rodgers. Now, here's how they could make that happen. Cousins has $37.5 million in guarantees between this year and next year. Somebody's on the hook for that, whether it's Atlanta or someone else. So to facilitate a trade, Atlanta would need a team to offset some of that money, whether it's $4 million, $20 million, whatever it is. But the feeling around the league is that Atlanta has not been willing to budge on this. They haven't shown a lot of interest in trading Cousins. It would take a hefty price tag for another team to wiggle that out. As one source told me, if they were willing to take a small percentage, like let's say $7 or $8 million of that money, a deal would be done by now. There was interest earlier in the offseason. Right now, Pittsburgh might be the only hope for Cousins, or he's sort of stuck in Atlanta.
Yeah, no thank you. For all the financial reasons, but mostly because that guy just isn't good at football anymore.
Yeah, he can't play. He can't move.
I think Mason Rudolph's a better quarterback than Kirk Cousins. I don't even think that's a hot take.
Right now, yes.
Right now.
Yep.
And that's to take nothing away from Kirk Cousins and his business acumen and the career he put together. Like, Kirk Cousins, for a decade plus, has been in, like, the second tier of quarterbacks. There's something to be said for that. And there are games where you watch him and you go, oh my gosh, this guy's one of the best quarterbacks in football. And then a big game comes along and he stinks out loud. It's a nice career.
Yeah.
It's a lot of money.
Yep.
No thank you right now. I would rather go into the season with Mason Rudolph than Kirk Cousins, and I wouldn't even consider it.
Nope.
If I were Omar Khan and company. We saw him play the first game of the year last season, and they didn't even want to run play action because the guy couldn't move. And then he played well for a bit, and then he had a tailspin the likes of which we had never seen from Kirk in his career. He went five games where he was as bad as any quarterback on planet Earth. Like, miss me with that.
No.
I think if you went out and you got Kirk Cousins, whatever it would cost to acquire him and however the financials would work out, I think he would come in here and you'd have him compete with Mason Rudolph and Mason would win the job. I mean, guys know. You've been in NFL locker rooms a bunch. Like, you know who's good and who's not.
Mm-hmm.
And I think if Kirk Cousins came in here, A, it wouldn't excite anybody, at least on the surface, and then he'd start playing. And people would go, oh my God, this guy ain't good enough.
Yeah, he would do the thing, though, where he would look good in practice. And stuff. Like, if they got him, like, next week and he had OTAs and minicamp, like, he would look great. He'd be like, oh, man, the guy still got it. He'd give off the Aaron Rodgers vibe that we talked about earlier.
Because no one's touching him.
Right. But Aaron Rodgers can do something that, you know, is the number one attribute for a quarterback. You have a strong arm. And Kirk Cousins, he has a good arm, but it's not an Aaron Rodgers arm. Aaron Rodgers, even 42 years old arm. So, like, if you have that, you can always do something with that. But I think that if he came in here, he would look great. But he just, that's not what you need right now.
He went through a stretch this year, did Kirk Cousins, where he threw 4 touchdowns, 9 interceptions, got sacked 13 times, and a quarterback rating of 75. I mean, that's as bad as it gets in the league. For a stretch. And look, I'm sure we could pull a stretch from Mason Rudolph's last year and we could find some comparable numbers, but oh, that's with me. Sorry, that's with me including a good game in there, Doran. My bad. He went against Tampa and Dallas, back-to-back games, 7 touchdowns, no interceptions. And I'm sure Falcons fans are thinking, this is exactly why you're bringing Kirk Cousins. Then after that goes 1 touchdown, 9 picks the next 5 games. Sacked 11 times. Excuse me, I screwed up with Pro Football Reference. 50-minute mark on the Fan is brought to you by South Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram, Route 19 in Peters Township. I get, hey, you want to have a plan B? No, if it ain't Rodgers, it's...
Who you got?
I'm going Rudolph.
I'm going with who you have.
Yeah, Howard's my backup, and Skylar Thompson is my 3.
Yep.
I mean, Skylar Thompson at least has been a backup quarterback in the league, and he pushed the Buffalo Bills to the brink. In a playoff game with the Miami Dolphins. It was a 1-score game at the end, which is more than we could say about any other Steelers quarterback in the last 8 years. Mm-hmm. So I'm fine with him as the 3 and Howard as the 2 if Rodgers doesn't show up. But Kirk Cousins, to me, is just not an option.
No way.
Seems like a cool dude.
Cool?
Yeah, seems like a cool guy.
Seems like a nice guy. I don't know about cool.
He shops at Talbot's.
Yeah.
We got Kohl's. A lot in common.
And Kohl's.
Yeah. He gets clothes from the places I get clothes. Down-to-earth guy. Seems like a godly man.
Yeah.
I think I get along well with Kirk Cousins.
I think you guys are polar opposites, but...
No, yeah. We're peas in a pod.
Yeah. Uh-uh.
What do you mean we're polar opposites?
It's just way opposite. Maybe the overanalyzing aspect of it, yeah.
I would never do that. You just let out a Kawhi Leonard laugh. All right, Mark Caboli's going to join us next to get into the latest... quarterback rumor, which has Jeremy Fowler saying Kirk Cousins could be an option for the Steelers at quarterback if Aaron Rodgers doesn't show up. We'll get Mark's OTA's primer as well. That's on the way. First, Fan Weather's brought to you by Myers Law Group, Pittsburgh's choice for affordable legal solutions. Today, a high of 68, low of 51, 55% chance of rain. It's supposed to be summer, man.
I know.
This blows.
I know.
Sitting by a campfire this weekend.
Next week's supposed to be nice.
I think for the 5 alarm, it's going to be like 90 degrees.
Of course.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.